We're going to kick off today. We're starting a new series called Make Space. And really, it's geared at making space in our finances. Because now more than ever, people are under financial burdens. I'm not going to point fingers or anything. That's not what this is about. It's just that there's all this pressure with our finances. And there's a lot of people that want to lead you, a lot of institutions that want to lead you on how to do your finances that really are geared towards consumerism more than they're geared towards generosity. And so what we want to talk about is how do we make space in our lives, especially with our finances? Because some of us probably feel a little bit tight and a little bit strapped. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what does the Bible say about how we deal with our finances? It's not a series on giving. It's not a series on tithing. We are not asking for more money because of this series. What we're just looking at is what's going on in the world today and what does the Bible say on how God wants us to approach money and how can we live more freely with it. Sound good? How many people have taken airplane rides? Most of us have. Who would choose the aisle seat more than any other seat? A few of you. Who would choose the window seat more than any other seat? More of you. Who wants to choose the middle seat? Nobody. Nobody wants to choose the middle seat because the middle seat is terrible, right? Because at one point, like, you sit down, and if you want to get up and go to the bathroom during the flight, you have to crawl over the person that's in the aisle seat. But if you are like me, and you just want to see what the earth looks like from 30,000 feet or whatever it is, you have to lean over and breathe on the person at the window seat, hoping that they left the window up so that you can see out. Because if they close the window, then you don't get to see the earth, and you're just kind of stuck. And if you're like me, I just naturally, when I sit down, my legs just kind of open up a little. It's not like lazy boy, but you know, they're just there. So much so that when I go on an airplane ride now, if I know I'm in the middle seat, I bring an extra belt, and I strap it around my legs, which sounds silly, I know, but the whole time, I feel like I don't want to encroach on anybody's space, so I'm fighting, I'm like muscularly holding my legs together for 5 or 6 hours. By the end of that flight, I am exhausted from trying not to encroach on anybody else's space. So I just thought, I'm going to bring a belt, which works great until you have to get up and go to the bathroom. But none of us, anybody with a brain, doesn't like the middle seat. If you fall asleep, whose shoulder are you going to lean on? Or what happens? All these different things. We don't like the middle seat usually because it's crowded. There is no space. Like, you're just crunched in there. I don't know what it's like to fly in first class or business class. I don't even think I fly in coach anymore. I fly in economy, which the seats are already small, and it just takes away all of our space. And to be honest, most of us financially are probably living in the middle seat. We would like the aisle, or we would like the window, but we're stuck in this middle seat, and we feel trapped, and we feel like we can't do things. Space gives us the mental freedom, right? It brings clarity in decisions. It just helps us think things through. When things are crowded, it's hard to think through everything. And so as we talk about this idea of mental freedom and what does God want us to do, this series is geared on you making space in your life so you can be the person God has called you to be in your finances and beyond. Does that make sense? How do we get out of the middle seat of finances? And so that's what we want to do. And if we want to make space in our finances, we've got to make space in our hearts and our minds for God to do the work that he wants to do and speak to us his truth from his word. And so this morning we're going to read from Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to invite Steve Founders to come up. He's going to be reading with us. It's the parable of the talents of a manager that goes away and entrusts his goods to three of his servants. And as we get there and we're getting ready for this, let me ask you this question. How do you respond when financial pressures crowd you in and strangle out your space and room to move and breathe? How do you respond when financial pressures just come in and strangle you and restrict your room to move and breathe? Think about that as we read from Matthew chapter 25. If you would, we'd like to stand as we read from God's word, so won't you please stand with us?
Matthew 25:14-13. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid the master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents here. I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this day that we come. I want to ask that you open up our hearts and our minds, that we listen and we hear what it is you've given to us and what it is you expect from us with what we have. Give words to Brian. Fill him with your spirit and your power, and help him to lead us into understanding how we can give back to you more than what you've given. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Church, you can have a seat. We're not going to cover, I'm going to be honest, we're not going to cover every part that's in this story. But there are just a lot of really cool things and things that I picked up on this week and as I was studying for this. And so, you know, I've had this series in mind since like August and September, and we just had other things going on. And so I thought, you know what? Let's talk about money in January, right after Christmas. That'll make everybody happy. What a perfect time. And so that's what we're talking about. But as I look at the story, it was new to me. One of the things that was new to me is he gave 1 5 talents, 1 2 talents, and 1 1 talent, kind of each according to what their gifts were already. Like the master already kind of knew, and that was new to me. I just thought he just gave them out randomly. But it's like, you're a really good servant. I'm going to give you 5. You're pretty good. I'm going to give you 2. I'm not so sure about you, so you get 1, and let's see what you can do with it, which was interesting. And then I think it's very interesting that the 5-talent and the 2-talent person, that they went out and doubled their money. They could have easily, when the master came back, said, what did you do with my money? And the person that made 5 extra could have said, hey, I made 3 more talents for you. And he could have kept 2, right? But he didn't. He gave them all back. And the one that had 2 and earned 2 more gave them all back. And so just some things that pop out and are interesting to me as we read this and talk about money. And so here's what I want you to think about. Before we dive into talking about money, what is your earliest memory of money? Doesn't have to be precise. Don't drag your brain too much, but I want you to think about, what is my earliest memory of money? And I want you to kind of write it down or get it in your head. I'm going to have you share it with your neighbor in a minute, because what we know about money kind of shapes, what we learn shapes of how we deal with money now. For me, you think about your story, I'll tell you my story. When I was 11 or 12, I had this paper out, and I would load the newspapers up on my bicycle and go around and throw them. Sundays, my parents would give me a ride because those are big newspapers. Every month they had this little booklet and you had to go knock on every house and you had to collect money. You know, Better Off Dead movie, I want my $2. That was me. I want my $2. And so you go around and collect all the money, and so people give you tips too, and so you get all these tips. And I loved getting the extra money. And at the time I thought having more $1 bills meant that I was better because I had a bigger stack of money. And man, I was not thinking back then to what I know now. But it wasn't just that. In my memory of money, I wanted my friends to see a big stack of dollar bills, but I wanted them to see a crisp stack of dollar bills. And so I would iron my money. And I'm telling you, just I've thought of earlier stories than this, but this is the first one that came up to me. I would iron my money because somehow I thought that made me somebody to not only have a whole bunch of $1 bills, but to have a whole bunch of crisp $1 bills. And that's one of my earliest memories of money. Real quick, if you're sitting next to somebody, I want you to share what's your earliest memory of money with them. Going to give you like 20 more seconds. All right, if you start wrapping it up. We all have these memories. We all have these things that have shaped our view of money and what we think about money and how much money we should have and how much we should keep or be generous with it. And they really shape our thoughts. And as we kind of look at the Bible, at this passage, I want you to see some key principles. We talk about making space in our finances that are going to help us make space in our finances, but help us to not have fear about our finances, but to really trust God with that. And so the first thing I want you to see, the first point I want you to get this morning is this. Everything belongs to God. Everything I have belongs to God. If you're at home, everything you have belongs to God. If you're sitting here in the church, everything you have belongs to God, right? He has entrusted us with his stuff. In the story, the landowner goes away on a trip and he entrusts, says right away, it'll be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. Whose property? His property. I'm giving this to you guys. I'm trusting you with this. I'm entrusting you with my stuff. God, if you want to get the big picture about money, and maybe you're going to wrestle with this for a little bit, but the big picture about money is this. God entrusts us with his stuff. Everything that I have belongs to God. And to be entrusted with something means that we are trusted. The reason the master entrusted these servants is he trusted them to do stuff. Even the one that got one, he trusted him to do something with it. And let that sit with your mind for a minute. If God gives us stuff, his stuff, if everything I have is really his, he's entrusting you because he trusts you to do the right thing with it. Are we doing the right thing with it? Let me put it this way. God is the homeowner and we are the tenant, right? Being a homeowner is great until the pipes burst and the roof leaks and the air conditioner goes out. Being a renter, it's great when the pipes leak and the roof leaks and the air conditioner goes out because the homeowner has to come and fix that stuff. But being a tenant, while you're there, you're supposed to take good care of that house, whoever owns that property. You're to be a good steward of it and hand it back to them. Because that property belongs to the property owner before you got there, while you were there, and after you leave. They still own that property. Everything that I have belongs to God. Even the talents and the skills that we have belong to God. And you might be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm not jealous with what you're saying. I work hard to earn my money. You're saying the money that I work hard for to earn belongs to God? Yes. Because if it wasn't for the kindness of God, you wouldn't have the skills and talents that you have in the first place. He formed us in the womb, the Bible says. He made us. He put us there. He's given us all these things. He even gives us the opportunities and allows us to earn money. It's the generosity of God. God is bigger than it is. And what I want you to see in this is God is a lot bigger than sometimes we think, even when it comes to our finances. Psalm 24:1 says this, and it's our scripture memory verse for the week that I just want to challenge you to remember. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. So God is giving us everything. He's our silent partner. He's our investor. He's our creator. As he put us together and all these things, and he's entrusting us with these things. He's entrusting us with his goods to do his bidding. God's not only the owner of everything, he's also the best provider. How many of you have seen God provide when you didn't know where things were going to happen? Sometimes God provides a lot. Sometimes God provides just a little. And maybe you feel like the amount that God has entrusted you with right now isn't sufficient. And I don't think that's necessarily because we're trustworthy or not trustworthy. Maybe sometimes we're like, God, if you're entrusting me with stuff, why haven't you entrusted me with more? And I've known some people that have been great financially and just have not let their finances grab a hold of their life and been generous and made space in their life and made space for God to do what he wants to do. Sometimes we feel like, God, you haven't given me enough. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is telling the parable and he's teaching. He says, so don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. What is Jesus teaching us? That God already knows everything you need. He already knows it. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. God is the greatest provider. And sometimes we might feel like, God, you're really not giving me enough, but he does. And when we can accept the idea that every good thing comes from God, it begins to open up some space. That even the finances I have and the things I have, whether little or big, come from his hand. It's not up to me. It's up to my God who provides. It's up to me. He's entrusted me to be a good manager and a good steward of those things. And am I going to do that? First key I want you to get today is this, that everything in your life belongs to God. We got that, right? Second thing I want you to see is this, that God wants us to be good managers. Like God actually wants you to be a good manager. He didn't take his, the owner in the parable didn't take his talents on the trip with him and see where he can earn money with those talents while he's out and about doing stuff. He entrusted it with the people back at his house. You guys do something with it. He wants us to be good managers. And then after he returned home from the trip, what did the master do? Okay, guys, gather up. Tell me what you did with the stuff. What happened with the five talents? What went on? Oh, man, I went out, and I went out right away, and I doubled it, and I earned you five more. Here you go. That's awesome. What about with the two talents? Oh, he called for an account. He wanted to know what happened. God wants us to be good stewards of his gifts on earth, but the first thing we have to do is trust that he's a good master. Is he someone that I want to follow? Is he a good leader? The five and the two talent guys liked the master. The one talent guy is kind of like, you're mean. And I was afraid. I'm not so sure about this. And he got his one taken away. But we got to trust that God is a good master. The next step that we got to do is to actually be good stewards. And it's probably something we can all be better at, right? I know I could be better at what I do with my money. It's more than being good with numbers. It's more than being an entrepreneur. It's more than putting in long hours. Am I doing good with the stuff that God has entrusted me with? Finances and beyond, skills and talents, time. Am I doing good with those things? Then you have the one talent servant that maybe some of us resonate more with than the others. And I think the one talent servant, he said it himself. Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid. How many of us get afraid to make decisions? And how do we overcome that fear in our life? If we're to be good stewards, how do we overcome this fear? The one talent servant is afraid. The verse 2, God says, well done. But he doesn't say well done to the one that was afraid. So how do we overcome our fears? When you look at this, the one talent servant, his fear made him hesitate to do anything with it. I knew you were a hard man, and I didn't want to lose it. So his fear caused him to hesitate. His fear of failure caused him to play it safe. I'll just plant it in the ground so I can give you this one back. His fear of losing it made him not take any risks with it. How many times have I operate more out of fear than I'd like to admit. And when I look at my life, I let fear drive things. And so how do we deal with fear in our life? How do we deal with fear in our finances? And this story, and in no way am I telling you to go out there and risk it all and bet it big. I don't think that is God's strategy. As God wants us to be good stewards of his money, there's a whole thing called wisdom that's involved in that. It's not going all in on everything. It's being wise about it. But when does fear inhibit our choices and what God might be calling us to do, but we're afraid to follow through with that? And so we just hide it when it could have doubled or tripled or so much more. If we want to face our fears, what we have to do is we have to bring those fears into the light. And that's what we're afraid of, isn't it? Sometimes we're afraid of letting people see our fears. We're afraid of letting people see who we really are. My insecurities are afraid that I'm going to let people down more often than they really know. So I put on a front that I have it all together. But if we face our fears, and don't worry, as I had you share your story about your financial thing, I'm not going to have you share your story about where you are, what your fears are. But do you remember ever being a kid and trying to go sleep in your room, but seeing the monster in the corner? And you knew it was a monster, right? And so you're hiding under your covers. And if you don't move and you don't turn any lights on, you're going to be safe, right? Anybody? And that was me. And then only like somehow you get through it, or somehow you get the courage to turn on the nightlight in your room or the lamp on the desk, only to realize it's your backpack and a sweater that looked like the monster. And it was really nothing to be afraid of. But in the dark, it was everything to be afraid of. We need to bring our fears to the light of God's word. Is God a good master? Yes, he is. Is God trustworthy? Yes, he is. Is God a good provider? Yes, he is. When the other ones double their talents, look how excited the master is. The Bible talks about when someone comes to God, there's a party in heaven. God is a good, good God. Sometimes we're afraid to bring our fears before God. But if you want to overcome your fears, you got to bring them to the light and bring it to the truth of his word and let him do those things. And if the one servant would have done that, maybe he would have tried to gone out and do things. And I think the master would have been fine if he would have said, hey, I had one talent and I tried to do this and I tried to do that. And I only like got 10% on it. Well done for going out there and trying. But not well done because you just hit it and you were afraid. This is what I want you to think about. When you think about your finances, you don't have to raise your hand. I don't want you to share this with your neighbor. When we bring things to light so we can understand where we need to go, which one of these areas describes you? When it comes to your financial situation, one, I require financial assistance to get by. Two, I'm struggling to keep up with day-to-day expenses. Three, I'm able to make ends meet. Four, I'm able to make ends meet and have some left over. Five, I have more than I need for my family and for myself. Which one of those kind of sits in? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to share it with me or any of those things. Oftentimes, acknowledging where we're at helps us break out of the rut we're in so we can step forward in faith and trust God with what he's given us. Where are you at? I missed the bottom line at the beginning of the sermon, but the bottom line is really this. It's not how much that you have. It's what you do with what you have. And by what you do with what you have, I mean the faith that you have in following God as he leads you. If you want to have space in your life for financial freedom, don't hide things in the dirt. God didn't give you your talents. He didn't entrust you with this stuff to hide it. He wants to create space for us. And you still might be in that number one position where I'm struggling to make ends meet. I need assistance every day. In that position, you can still have space and freedom in your life because God takes care of you. Later on, we're going to talk about that position number five, like I have more than enough. God has things for you to do too. But no matter where you're at, you might be in a position where you're in position number one or two and you're always just barely making it or not right there. But even in those positions, God can provide space and freedom for you. The Bible's not about you earning more and more and more money and that's going to make everything better. It's trusting God to be the good provider and following him when he leads you to do something. God wants us to be good managers. Everything that we have belongs to God. Third thing I want you to see, and as we kind of wrap this up, is this, that God will reward good managers. Well done, good and faithful servant. Are those some of the best words you can hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. I think we can all do with a little bit more encouragement in our lives. At the end of the day, God is saying, I've given you a little bit and you've done so much with it. Awesome job. Who doesn't want to hear that from God? I whimper into the thought that when I stand before God at the end of all things, that he would say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Sometimes I'm afraid because I'm afraid of how I steward things. I'm afraid of this. I have my insecurities that I have to bring to light. But man, the one words that I want to hear, the one phrase I want to hear is God look at me and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Now I find that through faith in Jesus Christ. I don't find that in my own works. God gives us righteousness based on Jesus. It's pretty amazing to be entrusted by God with everything. But it's great that God wants to reward us as well. Hey, I gave you five. You earned five. Keep it. Double it again. You didn't take it back. God wants to give us and he wants to reward us. What are some of the rewards that we'll see from God? Thankfulness, gratitude, praise will start creeping into your life. Because it's not about what I have, it's just about what God is doing with what I have, and it creates space. One of the rewards is, as you begin to trust God with your finances, and he begins to make space in your life, you just have a better trust relationship with him and a deeper faith in him. Israelites had a word for God, Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. I think that was even, not the Israelites, but at first that was Abraham. And Ishmael, and when Ishmael's maidservant mom got cast out, and she thought her and her son were going to die, God provided for them. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who provides. When I'm about to die in the desert, you give me what I need. You're the God who provides. Maybe our finances at the end of the day won't be a stressor in our lives anymore. What a reward that will be, amen? Like as the bills pile up for this or that, I know that God is going to pull through for me. And I know stories of people, and I won't share them, but of how at just the last minute they got what they needed to pay for this or to pay for that. And there's stories upon stories of Christians that didn't know what they were going to do and didn't know what the answer was going to be, and God provided. Maybe the reward we see is God giving all these things and helping us out. I'm running out of time here, too, and as I wrap this up, I want to remind you, and the big point is today, if we want to make space in our finances and make space in our life, first thing we have to wrestle with is everything that I have doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. Amen? Second thing is this, that God wants us to be good managers. He's entrusted us with his stuff to do his bidding. So let's be the kind of people that do that, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you have, it matters what you do with what you have. Karen, you can come on up as we get ready to finish this out. I want to invite you. We have a Wednesday night Bible study that we've been going through the book of Mark, but we're going to go through some worksheets and stuff that deal with our finances and help us get a better understanding of what are we doing with our finances right now. Am I being a good steward of God's money or not? We're going to kind of bring to light where our finances are and what are some steps we can do to find that freedom in God to do that. And what are some things that maybe we need to give up or put aside because it's not being a good steward of what he's entrusted me with. Sounds scary, but if you want to make some space in your life, I invite you to come out Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, and we'll work through these things together. You don't have to show anybody your worksheet. This is just for you to work through with God to bring things to light so that he can create space to help you find freedom. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for being a God who provides, a God that wants to make space in our lives for us. I thank you are a God who entrusts us with your stuff, which is pretty amazing. You could accomplish all these things on your own, and yet you entrust it to us to be good stewards. Lord, help us to be honest and examine our lives. Help us to be honest in light of your word, that in faith we follow you, even in our finances, so that we could be good managers and good stewards of what you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.